Amen. Amen. All right. Open your Bible today with me to Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. That will be our text. The beginning place will be in a number of other places, so I hope you have a copy of the Word of God. If you don't, there is a copy of God's Word there in your pew, and you can use that, please. If you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being here. If you'd like to kind of keep track with what's going on here in our church, we have a website that you can check out. Has our sermons, information about the church, all the ministries and everything. I think it's in the bulletin. It's www.mbcoxford.org. Okay, and you can keep up with us, check us out, and we'd love to have you do that. We had a wonderful vacation. And some of you have asked, and I feel rested and refreshed. I got a little tan. I told somebody when I would go on vacation, I usually leave my watch and my razor. And so I'd pretty hairy, and so I trimmed it up a little bit nicer today. I was going to shave it, but I have a pimple right here on my chin, and I'm kind of excited about that. I'm 60-something years old and still get pimples, so there was a time when I wasn't excited about that, but I'm kind of excited about that. But I didn't want to shave and cut it, and so anyway, I used that as an excuse, told my wife I wouldn't go shave for a few days until it kind of cleared up, then I'll shave. But anyway, we're good to be. And you know, we got home yesterday about 5:30 after driving 10 hours or more from the coast, North Carolina, and it just felt good to get home. Doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good after you've been on a trip? Or just even at work, doesn't it feel good just to be home? You know, our staff's been talking about that last few weeks especially, and we've been talking about our church and what it feels like and stuff, and we keep saying over and over again, you know, it feels like home. It feels like family. You know, and it ought to, shouldn't it? Church ought to feel like that. It shouldn't feel like a crowd that nobody knows their name or whatever. It should feel like family. It should feel like a place that you're glad to get to, a place where everybody knows your name, not just your face, a place where you matter, you know, and that makes a difference, and it makes a difference in our life. I know when we've been here a little bit over 5.5 years, and you guys have made us feel at home. We feel like part of the family. I even had somebody while I was gone cut my grass. And I tell you what, I got a big old smile on my face because I was like, you know, I'm going to cut that. I bet it's knee high, and I'm going to have to get a bush hog to get it. And somebody cut my grass. And that's happened several times as I go, and you know, it's just a little thing. But you guys do that kind of stuff all the time for one another and for our community. And so over the next month, we're going to do an emphasis. And you see the logo we have up there, and you're going to see it around. We're going to really just tell people Meadowbrook feels like home, and we've got a place for you here. We want you to feel at home here at Meadowbrook. We got little invite cards made up that look just like that, has some information on the back about our services. We've got some yard signs over here that we've got about 10, and really what we're wanting you to do is volunteer to take some of those home with you, or take one home with you and get a picture. Get a picture with you and your family outside your home where you can take it to the ball field, or you can take it to, matter of fact, I took a card, well, I actually had on my cell phone. We went to the Atlanta Braves ball game last Friday night, and I took a picture, had my son take a picture of me holding this card up at the Atlanta Braves game. And you can do that because we're going to put them on social media. Because, you know, today that's how people communicate a lot. So we want pictures of our Meadowbrook family holding signs up that says Meadowbrook feels like home. Matter of fact, I think we have some samples, don't we, Clay? Why don't you put some up there? There's some boys and girls there. Look at that. Isn't that good? Do another one there. There's Carol. There's more boys and girls. There we are. That's kind of scary. There's Ben and Kay. Yeah, look at that. So you kind of get the idea. As a matter of fact, after the service, I've got my camera. And for those of you that want to, I'm going to have one of the signs. And we're going to go out here in the front of the church, way out there, so we can get the church in the background. And I'm going to take some pictures. So I'd love to have you out there. We'll just go ahead and take your picture. And then we're going to let Holly, she is our webmaster, because doesn't she do a good job with our with the Facebook stuff she does? And oh, by the way, if you've not been back to the children's hallway, you ought to go back there. It looks amazing. Good job. And all you that helped, that's a great job. And but she does a great job with Facebook, and so she's going to take care of that. We're going to post those on Facebook all this month, and we're going to encourage you to invite people to a church. We're going to have a Labor Day family picnic. Now, I know some people say, well, people are going on Labor Day. I'm going to be here, and I'm going to have a hamburger, and we're going to have a water slide for the kids. We're going to just have a great time right after church on Labor Day. And we're encouraging you to invite your friends. We're going to do a personal invitation. We're going to make sure that everybody behind us in this neighborhood gets a personal invitation to come and share a hamburger, hot dog, and some fellowship with us on that day. So we want you to invite people, too. We're going to have a great time. And then on the 8th, we're going to have a revival. Sid Nichols is going to be back with us. And it's going to be a great Sunday through Wednesday thing. And we're just encouraging you to invite people to be a part of the family here at Meadowbrook Baptist Church, because I want to kind of push back on an idea that is kind of permeating our culture. And that is that we can do it ourselves. We don't need other people. We're just kind of independent agents, you know. And even some Christians think, well, you know, I can be a Christian, don't have to go to church, don't have to be a regular part of a church, or I can go to these big things and kind of be an anonymous face and that kind of stuff. I just want to push back a little bit against that this month and talk about the fact that we need other people. We need one another. We need a family, don't we? Can you imagine a baby going home from the hospital, popping that little baby in the midst of a kitchen, fully stocked and everything, giving the little sucker a can opener and saying, here it is, there's all the food you need, all the shelter you need, good luck. The baby wouldn't survive. Well, we need family. We need one another's help. And so we're going to talk about that in these days. Look, let's stand up. Let me read these two verses, and then we're going to get into our study. We're going to talk this morning about four reasons why we need other people in our life, okay? The text is from Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. I'm reading today from the CSB. You read from your translation. May have a few different words. They all mean the same. Here's what Paul says at the end of this great, great letter. He says, now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with one mind and one voice. Notice what God gives. He gives endurance. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I have trouble sometimes getting along with some people. Anybody have issues like that? Matter of fact, we have trouble sometimes with family, right? And we have trouble getting along. So you have to endure. You have to keep on keeping on. But he also gives encouragement. He gives us encouragement of his spirit. He gives us encouragement of his word. And he asks that we would live in harmony. That doesn't mean one note. Harmony is when people play different notes, but they're on the same sheet, following the same conductor, and they make beautiful music. Can you imagine Jason being up here on the piano and just hitting one note all the time? I mean, Jason could probably do it really, really well, but still, it would get a little bit monotonous, would it? Aren't you glad? Look around this room. Everybody's different, right? Some of you are a lot different. We're not going to mention any names, but we're all a little different, right? And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we all think a little bit differently, act a little, we have different personalities, different likes, and that makes it beautiful. That makes it wonderful. And he says that we might live in harmony with one another so that we can glorify God. Because you know what, folks? When a group this size gets along and lives in harmony and encourages one another and keeps on enduring through the hard times as well as the good times, the times when they don't get their way as the times they do get their way, when they do all of that, people look at God and say, wow, there must be a God for all those people to get along like that. That's the evidence, because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but our culture is a little bit fragmented today, right? It's just a little bit mad. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you've called us to be part of the body of Christ together. And Father, today I pray that as we look into the Word, God, that you'll let us hear and you'll open our hearts to receive. And you'll give us the courage to choose, to follow, and to do, and to be who you want us to be. Thank you for Jesus. And it is in his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we pray and the sound is back on. Amen. Amen. Don't our sound guys do a great job back there, don't they? I mean, you know. Well, for what they've got to work with up here, they make me sound so much better. I really sound like this, but they have me sounding a lot better than that. So, okay. We need one another. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, I need you. Now, look at the person on the other side and say, I need you too. Folks, we need one another. We can't make it as Christians without not only God and the Spirit, but we can't make it as Christians without his church. We need the church. We need to be a committed member of a local church. We need to be part of a small group in that church. And so today I want to talk about four reasons why we need one another. Reasons we were created, literally, God created us for community. In the garden, when he looked at Adam, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And it is not good for the woman to be alone either, by the way. We need one another. Four reasons. Number one, I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me. In other words, I need people to help me grow spiritually. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The Bible often refers to the Christian life as a walk. It is not a class. It is not a study. It is a lifestyle, because we're always moving, aren't we? We're either moving ahead or we're moving behind. As a matter of fact, there's a number of things that the Bible says we're to do that we can't do by ourselves. God tells us that we are to forgive one another, accept one another, encourage one another, build one another up. It's evidence that God never intended for us to walk alone, for us to grow in our faith. Why? Well, let me give you three reasons why God wants us to walk together. Number one, it's safer. It's safer. If you ever walk through a dark alley or a dark neighborhood or a dangerous place, it's safer when you're with people, and especially when you go through dangerous areas. And folks, can I just let you know something? This world is a broken world, and there's some danger out there, and there's all kinds of things out there that want to trip us up and steal our joy and try to destroy us, like the enemy talks about. It's safer when you walk with others. Secondly, it's supportive. Others will encourage you and keep you going. Have you ever noticed geese when they fly? You never see a solo geese flying by himself or itself. You always see them flying together. They fly in a V because they've learned that it's easier to go further when you go together. As a matter of fact, there's an old African proverb that says, when you run alone, you run faster. But when you run together, you run further. Isn't that good? We need encouragement. Because how many of you know sometimes on a walk, on our journey, it gets a little discouraging. Gets a little wearisome. You get a little tired. It's often good to have somebody with you to say, keep on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can make it. Somebody to take you by the hand, or somebody behind you giving you a good shove, or encouraging you ahead. Say, keep on going, keep on going. We need the support of others. Living the Christian life is a challenge. It's tough sometimes. And we need other people around us to encourage us and say, you know, I've been through exactly that, and God saw me through it, and I know he'll see you through. Let me pray with you. Let me come alongside of you and help you. Let me love on you a little bit. Let me encourage you. Let me cheer you on. We ought to be, as Christians, we ought to be one another's biggest cheerleaders. Because we all struggle. We all need that, right? We all need support. And then finally, it's just smarter. It's just smarter when you walk with others, because we can learn a lot from others. We can learn some things to do, and we can also learn some things not to do. As a matter of fact, I've learned over the years, the smartest way is to let other people make my mistakes for me. Let them make the mistake, and I can learn from that. I don't have to pay the consequence, but I can learn from that. People can teach. Proverbs tells us it's smarter to listen to the counsel of other people. Two heads are better than one, right? And a whole bunch of people together with experiences and life and their prayers is so much better. And you know what I've learned in just recent years? My spiritual family is outlasting my physical family. My mom and my dad are both with Jesus in heaven. Lou's mom and her dad are both with Jesus in heaven. Now, we still have our brothers and sisters, but our family, our earthly family is getting smaller, but our spiritual family is growing. As a matter of fact, I've learned as a pastor, and I've had this experience, that I'm actually closer to people in the church than I am my own flesh and blood. Because we've been through experiences together, we pray together, and we've spent time together. And so it's the church is God's safety net for us. That's why the Bible warns us not to give up meeting together. Write this down in your notes. Community is God's answer to loneliness. It's God's answer to loneliness. We need people in our life who know us, who love us anyway. This service here really isn't designed for intimacy. It isn't designed for getting to know one another intimately. That happens in a Sunday school class. That happens in a D group. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, and there's a lot of you that are not. I noticed last Sunday we had a great attendance, but our Sunday school was a lot smaller than our worship attendance. And there was a day when it used to be the opposite. You know, there was a day back 30 more years ago when our Sunday school attendance was a lot larger than our worship attendance. Now that's changed, and it's interesting to me that since that's changed, our evangelism, our baptisms, and our discipleship has gone down. Why? Because we need small groups. We need to be in a group where we're known and where we're missed and where we can be encouraged and where we can be challenged and stuff. Look at these verses in your notes. Ephesians 4:16. Paul says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God has a place and a role for every one of us in the church to help us grow together. To help us individually and corporately to be healthier. To help us to be full of love. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. That means opening up our lives to one another. Opening up our homes to one another. Eating together. Doing life together. Doing things together. Doing what we're already doing. Just including other people in it. Hospitality talks about in the scripture, Hebrews talks about being kind and being hospitable to strangers because you never know, you may be entertaining angels. And every Sunday we have angels in our church. We call them visitors, but God sends those folk to us. And so let me just give you a couple practical things you can do in these days. Just during the welcome time, you can make sure that all of our visitors feel welcomed. You can even take a card to them and a pen to them and say, here, I want to give this to you, Philip, because this is the best church I know of. We'd love to get to know you better. We'd love for you to be a part of this church. Never let somebody stand in here without their hands being shook or their necks being hugged. Love on them some. Give them. And then the unchurched in your circles. There are people out there dying for community. Facebook claims to have community. You friend people on Facebook, but folks, that is a sad, sad imitation of the beautiful thing that is community. To be a friend is not just a friend and then kind of follow them from afar. It is to be up close and personal. It is to be there when they need them. It is to love them despite what you know about them. It is to be there for them. And so we're going to encourage you to invite people to be a part of the family, because I don't know if you've noticed, but we have room for people to come. And so we have these cards. They'll be available next week back here. Take those. We've got a bunch of them. So take them and invite people. Invite people to our church, to Bible study, and to the worship services. Invite people to our Labor Day family picnic. Invite people to our fall revival. They don't just bring themselves, you know. And by the way, when you invite people to the picnic, tell them the only thing you have to bring is yourself. We're going to provide all the food, all the stuff. We're just going to invite you to come and be a part of the family here in Meadowbrook. So one of the reasons we need one another is we need others to walk with us, to help us grow spiritually. You know, some of the best lessons I've learned have been through challenging times in the church, because I've learned that God is faithful. And I've learned something. I've learned to give people the benefit of the doubt. I've learned that most people in the church love Jesus and love the church. And even though we may disagree, we both love Jesus and we both are sincere in what we're doing and stuff. And I've learned that because early on I didn't know that. Early on I thought if you didn't agree with me, you're just foolish. You just didn't understand the reality of the world that John should always get his way. But now I've learned a little bit and grown up a little bit and understand that I don't know everything. And sometimes I disagree with people, but I can still love them. And I would never have learned that if I'd hopped from church to church to church to church to church because I didn't get my way, which some people do today. And they're missing some of the best lessons. So we need people to help us grow. Secondly, we need others to work with us. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God created us to do good works. And the Bible says that we can get more done together than we can alone. In Ecclesiastes, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Now, we see that all the time around the church. We saw that during Vacation Bible School, didn't we, Holly? I mean, it's amazing all the people that worked and the joy and stuff. We saw that, Ken, and you guys on the mission trip, didn't we? When our church got together with another church, and it's so cool how God breaks down all kind of barriers. Here's a white church from Alabama and an African-American church from Georgia going to another church in Georgia that's African-American and working together. Now, folks, all you hear today is about racial divide, but I want to tell you something. When God's people work together, that's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We saw that. We saw it in our church services. I mean, we got people working in the back with our kids. We've got these guys in our sound booth. We got all kind of people in the choir singing. That none of it would be possible if we just decided to do our own thing. We see it like with evangelism. You know, there was a day, once again, back when we had a large Sunday school and when Sunday school was kind of the deal, when we saw a lot of people saved. And it was because in that day, you understood it was our responsibility to invite people and bring people to church. Today, we've kind of reversed it and kind of gone to this personality, celebrity deal in the pulpit about, well, the pastor's supposed to bring him in. I mean, he's the guy, he's the magnetic Pied Piper and that kind of stuff. And our baptisms have gone down and stuff. And it's happening all over our denomination. We need to get back to the day where we realize that evangelism is a team effort. We all are sharing. We all are having gospel conversations with people. We're all passing out cards and inviting people to come to church. We're all learning how to make a difference in the community. It's like taking care of this big old building here. You know, if it was just up to one or two people, You know, it would never get done. Let me ask you a question. Whose job is it to pick up paper on the floor on Sunday morning? Everybody's job. Who is it when you leave a room, whose job is it to turn out the lights? The last person out of the room, right? Whose responsibility is it to make sure that there's toilet paper and stuff on a Sunday morning if you happen to run out? Whose responsibility is that? Well, maybe not yours. You'll have to call us to get some help. But somebody, you know, it's our responsibility, right? We all work together. We all need. I love what Rick Warren says. He says, individual snowflakes are fragile little things by themselves. But if you get enough of them together, you can shut down a city. Isn't that good? You know, I mean, individually, we're nothing real special. I'm not special. Some of you are real special, but I'm not. You know, but you get us together. I mean, just this year, man, we've helped build a church. We've been overseas. We've had a great Bible school. I mean, we have people in our service center. We're doing all kinds of things in this community because we do it together. Write this down. Community is God's answer to fatigue. The reason some of us, and I include myself in this, get so tired is because we don't let people help us. Listen to me. Christians should never sit back and wait to be asked to help. Our default response should be, let me help you with that. Let me see, I serve you some way. You know, we see something going on. We shouldn't be waiting to be, we should get in there and do it. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially of those who belong to the household of faith. Now, that's kind of interesting. You would have thought that Paul would have said, especially those outside the church. Why did he say, especially to those of the household of faith? Because Jesus said the way that the world knows that he is God's son is because of the way the church, the disciples, love one another. You see, when we take care of one another, when we serve one another, when we work together like that, the world says, hey, man, something is different because that doesn't happen naturally. Jesus must be real. God must have sent Jesus. Jesus must be more than just a good teacher. Jesus must be more than just a good guy. He is God. Number three, we need others to wait and weep with us. I'm talking about the dark valleys and the hard times of life, time that no one should ever have to go through alone, especially in the church. And folks, I just want to say this to you guys. We have some of the best people in the world at this. We go to the hospital, and I've never seen anybody there that we know of that let us know that ever have to go through that alone, ever have to sit in that waiting room alone. People are there early in the morning and sit all day. People are with one another at their graves of the loved one. I know some that spend the night with some of our ladies the first night they're alone after their husbands have died. I've seen our people show up during the hard times, during the messy times, during the inconvenient times. I've had people tell me, you don't have to come. And I always say, yes, I do, because that's what love does. That's what love does. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And then in Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. No one is meant to face a crisis of life alone. We need the support network because we never know when the hammer is going to fall on us. I knew a guy, not in this church, but in my last church. He only came on Sunday morning. He just came and left. He never got involved in a group. He went out of his way to not know anybody. Never showed up at anything else. Never shared his name. He just was there. As a matter of fact, I was the only person in the church that he knew, and I knew him by name. People had tried, but he just came and left. That's all he did. One time he was in the hospital, and I was away on vacation. No one went to visit him, of course, because no one knew him, and no one knew he was in the hospital. And I got a note when I got back from vacation that year that said this, Pastor, I'm leaving the church because no one came to visit me when I was in the hospital. Now, I called him up, and I said, I'm so sorry that happened. But anyway, he ended up leaving the church. And after he's left, I thought about him. I thought about him, as a matter of fact, when I was writing this sermon. He never seemed to care about anyone else in the church. As far as I know, he never visited anyone else in the church, never got involved in a small group, never took the time to get to know anybody by name. And when the crisis came, no one knew him. No one knew about his need. And he had no one to blame but himself. And that was so sad. It was so sad. Matter of fact, write this down. Community is God's answer to despair. My friend put himself through unnecessary misery all because he refused to be part of the community. We don't have to fix every problem. We don't have to even give advice. The best thing we can do is just be with people. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to encourage one another and build each other up just as you're already doing. Folks, listen to me. You've heard me say this before, but I really mean it. People are not looking for friendly churches. People are looking for friends. And a friend is someone who walks in when everybody else walks out. And we need friends. And finally, the last one is we need others to watch out for us. I need people, you need people who got your back, who stand up for us, to help me stay on track, who warns me, who holds me accountable. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 2:4, everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. But folks, listen, that runs so anti-culture today. When it's all about me, it's my needs and my interests and my feelings and my hurts. Forget about everyone else. I just want my way. And if I can't get my way, I need some coloring books and a safe place. When we went on vacation, we asked neighbors to keep an eye on our house because we all want our stuff looked after, don't we? Folks, can I just let you know something? Your soul is a whole lot more important to get looked after than your stuff. Who keeps an eye on your soul? Who's helping you grow? Who's making sure that you don't stray? Who's making sure and loves you enough to come alongside you and say, hey, brother, or hey, sister, you're heading the wrong way, and I love you too much to let you go there without saying something. We all have blind spots. Some things about us that only others can see. I discovered it at the beach when someone told me that I have a thinning bald spot on the back of my head. I never would have known that. Really, I didn't really want to know that because I can't see back there. Have you ever noticed when you got a tail light out in your car, you can't notice? You don't notice until the police stop you or somebody says, hey, you got a tail light out, because you can't see it. We all have blind spots like that. We all have little bald spots or little things growing out there, you know, that we can't see, but that others can. And others can say, hey, you might want to put some extra sunscreen on your head as well as your face. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, he says, let brotherly love continue. Now, I don't know how many of you have brothers. I don't know if love would be the descriptor I would use for me and my brothers or not, because we used to fight like cats and dogs. But I want to tell you something. We could fight like cats and dogs, but if anybody picked on one of us, there were three of us they had to deal with, because we loved one another. And now as we've gotten older, we try to keep in touch with one another. And we talk with one another as often as we can, because we realize our friends have come and gone, but I've still got my brothers. And we need a brother. Matter of fact, write this down. Community is God's answer to defeat. Folks, it's not just our blind spots that will defeat us, it's the enemy as well. We have an enemy, the Bible says, that's out to kill, steal, and destroy. A while back, I read the 9/11 report. I know you said, man, you really need to get something to do with your life. But in the preface, listen to what it says, because I thought about our spiritual battle. Listen to what it says, the 9/11 report. It says this: we learned about an enemy who is sophisticated, patient, disciplined, and lethal. The enemy rallies broad support by political grievances, but its hostility toward us and our values is limitless. Its purpose is to rid the world of religious pluralism. It makes no distinction between military and civilian targets. Collateral damage is not in its lexicon. Folks, can I let you know something? That is a great description of Satan. Because Satan doesn't care if he hurts you or your kids or your church. He doesn't care if he destroys your marriage. He doesn't care if he destroys your home. He doesn't care if he destroys your friendships. He just doesn't care. The report went on and said this: we did not understand how grave this threat really was. We did not adjust our policies and our plans or practices to deter or defeat it. The test before us is to sustain the unity of purpose and to meet the challenges now confronting us. We need to design a balanced strategy for the long haul to attack terrorists while at the same time protecting ourselves from future attack. Did you hear that? Unity of purpose and balanced strategy for the long haul. Folks, that explains why Satan is all the time trying to work conflict and disruption in a church. I mean, who do you think is behind this do-it-now culture? Who do you think is behind this increasing short-term commitment we have to the church and no commitment to the church? It's the enemy. I mean, look at our country. You know, after 9/11, now we've got borders. We got people wanting to just let anybody in without any kind of screens and stuff. We've forgotten. Folks, can I just let you know something? We may have forgotten about Satan, but I guarantee you this, he's not forgotten about us. And he is lying in the weeds. He'll lie in the weeds for years, waiting for the moment to attack. And that's why we need other people to watch our backs. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite verses, 4:12, it says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I use this all the time in marriage. It talks about you not only you need the husband and the wife, but you need God in the mix, because a triple braided cord is strong. And folks, we need people who watch out for us. I need to know that someone's got my back. If I fall down, I don't want to be another victim of the church that shoots its wounded. I want somebody to love me enough and care for me enough to come and scrape me up off the pavement and take me to a place and treat me and get me better. I don't want somebody to kick me to the curb and say, well, he messed up. Well, we all mess up. We need one another. We need other people to watch out for us, who love us. We really, really need one another. And so I'm going to encourage you to make four commitments. And I know that's a lot in this day and time, but you know what? I'm kind of getting tired of the commitment light thing. I'm kind of getting tired. You know, church today, we want 5.5 commandments instead of the 10, and we won't, you know, that kind of stuff. So here are the commitments I'm asking you to make. You've got a card in your bulletin. You can take that and look at it. You don't have to turn this in. What I want you to do with this card, if you're willing to make a commitment, is just take this card, put it someplace where you'll see it. Maybe on your refrigerator, your bathroom window, your car, I don't know, wherever it is you see it. And here are the commitments. First, I want to be an active part of a Sunday school group and or a D group. A D group is a discipleship group. We're going to be starting some here in a few weeks. If you've not been a D group, you ought to be. If you have been a D group, you ought to be recruiting people to be in your next D group and multiplying. You're going to hear a lot more about that. But be a part of a Sunday school group. We have some great groups. You need to be a part of it. Secondly, to pray for my church family and our needs daily. We need to pray for our revival coming up. You pray for us. We need to pray for the invitation time during the revival. And folks, would you start praying for the invitation time in our church as well? Because I believe there are people that need to be saved and need to join our church and stuff. We need to pray. As a matter of fact, next week we're going to talk a little bit about that. And next week everybody's going to get one of these purple bracelets that I've been wearing now that says pray first. Because I believe in prayer and we ought to be a praying church. Thirdly, to submit and share a picture for the Feel Like Home social media campaign. Once again, we've got some things. I'll make them today or next Sunday or whatever. Or you can take them home and make your own or whatever. But we want to use those to put out there on Facebook. Say, well, some of you say, well, I could never witness. Well, here's a cool, easy way to do it. Just take the sign, hold it up, let somebody take a picture of you, send it to me, send it to Holly. We'll put it on Facebook, and you'll get to share your faith and your love for Meadowbrook with a whole bunch of people. That's a cool thing to do. And then finally, invite others to church. To our weekly gathering, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, to our Labor Day family picnic on Sunday, September the 1st, and to our fall revival, September the 8th through the 11th. Folks, even though people say that people... you know, not come to church. One thing is true. Most people come to church because people invite them to come. And you can invite people to come. Could I just ask you to do something? Make a commitment to Jesus, number one, and to his church. Make a commitment to help this place become a place that feels like home. Because, folks, listen, church is all about relationships. It is all about knowing Jesus and knowing one another. It is not a concert venue. It is not a performance where a few are up on stage with the lights and the rest of them sit there watching. It is not just a place to go. It is a people to be a part of. It ought to feel like home. And folks, God brought you here to help this church be a better place, a bigger place, a healthier place, a more loving place. Because I want to tell you, it feels like home to me. And I want other people out there in Oxford to know that now that they can drink on Sunday, they have a place to go to find real satisfaction and real comfort and real forgiveness and real life and real hope, a place that feels like home. Would you pray with me? Father, it's time, I believe, for your church to rise up and be the church you want us to be. It's time for a revolution of love and commitment and community. God, I believe with all my heart that our church can rise up, that we can fulfill your purposes for us, that we can see a revival in our church, that we can see a revival in our city. And I pray, God, that more and more people will feel like home here, and that more of us will feel like home, and will do whatever it takes to love one another, forgive one another, hold one another accountable, watch out for one another, work with one another, weep with one another, walk with one another. Help us. Would you just pray with me today and just simply say, Lord, please forgive me for the times I didn't want others in my life. Forgive me for not connecting with others in my church. Jesus, I want to be loved and I want to love. I want to be known and I want to know others. I want to be part of a loving, growing, joy-filled community to serve and to worship and to witness and to work together. I don't just want to watch from the sidelines anymore. Please use me to make a difference in my church, in my city for your glory and honor. Jesus, bless your church that it may feel like home to more and more people in our city. And I want you to know this morning, there's a place for you here. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've gone, Jesus loves you. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says he lived the life we were created to live. He never sinned. He did what the Lord wanted him to every step of the way. But then he died the death that we all deserved on the cross. But he did it because he loved us. And he took our sin and he paid the sin debt for past, present, and future sins. And he offers us forgiveness and eternal life as a gift that we can receive when we turn from our sin, that's repentance, and we turn in faith to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means you, means me. whatever you've done, wherever you've gone, you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Some of you need to do that. Some of you are saved, but you've never followed the Lord in public baptism. Or you're a Christian, but you're not a member of a local church. And I'm going to invite you, if the Spirit leads you, to come today and say, hey, I want to be all in. I want to be part of the family here. I want to help this church be a home for all kinds of people from all kinds of places. Would you do that? Lord, I pray today that you would take this invitation and put your hands all over it. Help us, Father, to push back against this flow of non-commitment, of independence, of self-centeredness, of consumerism. And help us, Father, to realize we need others. We need you. We need one another. And we need your power. So right now, in this moment, as we stand and as we sing, help us today to come. Let's stand and sing.